You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hi, I'm Tim.
And I'm Maria.
With DanielFast.org, and we want to welcome all of you who are joining us on the 21-day nationwide Daniel Fast and Prayer for spiritual breakthroughs and to spark a revival in America to heal our land. Join us Monday through Friday for a new message of encouragement from the Word of God. We will also give you some meal suggestions and pass along some prayer and fasting tips. We welcome your input, prayer requests, and testimonials. We would love to hear from you. Go to the Contact Us page at our website, danielfast.org. Here is our word for today. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest."
Everyone has a story. Stories that include burden, loss, grief, betrayal, despair, and disappointment. Stories that include heaviness are not new. Your brokenness may look different from your neighbors, but rest assured that each and every person is carrying a heart with some kind of wound.
Jesus invites us to a place of rest. He acknowledges what we all feel, weariness. He sees your heart. Generations ago, he knew the pain that you now carry. He understands your weariness and the weight of your current burdens. He gently invites, "Come to me." Who does Jesus personally call? The weary, the burdened. Does this sound like you? Can you relate? Hear him call, "Come to me."
The beauty of his personal invitation is that Jesus doesn't say, "Fix yourself, make yourself whole, change yourself, complete those tasks, become perfect, deny your pain, and then come to me." Jesus simply say, "Come to me." What does Jesus offer is his personal invitation. Rest. Perfect rest. Rest. Real rest. Restoring rest.
Perhaps you feel trapped or engulfed by the pains of the past, things done to you, mistakes you have made. In your brokenness, Jesus walks towards you and invites you to come near, just as you are right now. Jesus can make this bold, loving invitation because he personally has a similar story. He knows what it is like to live in our broken world. He suffered wounds and betrayal from those closest to him. As Jesus looked over a city, he stood weary and burdened. Luke 19:41 says, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." Jesus not only sees your pain, he has felt your pain, and he weeps with you.
He looks in your eyes and invites you to come and rest in him. The rest he offers redeems your life and restores your relationship with God. This invitation is made possible through the life and death of Jesus. He provides his perfect rest through his work on the cross and his resurrection that came just 3 days later. Would you come as you are today as the one who provides real rest?
Let us pray. In Romans 8:28 it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Father, you see me. You see my broken heart and the wounds of my past. You know the weariness I carry today. I accept your invitation to come to you for real rest. I come just as I am. Come near me, Lord. I lay my burdens at your feet. Thank you for making a way for my redemption and rest through your Son, Jesus. I give you my broken heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is Tim.
This is Maria.
From DanielFast.org. We are glad that you have chosen to join us for this 21-day journey, and we invite you to send us your prayer requests and testimonies. because we want to pray for you and with you to build a community of believers who will share each other's burdens and triumphs. Please join us next time as we talk about prayer and fasting from the Word of God.
Blessings.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Hey, good morning. This is Karen Hubbard, welcoming you to Wednesday Live. And Dave is off today, having some much-needed rest. And Jonathan will be off today and tomorrow. He's preparing for knee surgery that'll be taking place tomorrow. So we'd like to just lift up a prayer for Jonathan as he's getting ready to go into that surgery, and I'd like you to join me. Father God, we just lift up Jonathan to you, Lord. We lift up his surgery. Father, we ask, oh God, that you would touch the doctors, each one of them, and all those who are attending during the procedure, Lord. Father, may they work with your grace and with your excellence, Lord. Father, that they would just have a smooth surgery take place, Lord, that Jonathan's knee could be restored better than it was before. And we thank you, Lord, for taking care of him in Jesus' name. And I just want to let you know that we're going to be re-airing the interview that Jonathan had done with Jonathan Kahn in September of 2020. So we'll be listening to that today for the Wednesday Live program. And we just invite you to join us, and we hope that you will enjoy this previously recorded interview. Thanks.
We have with us today, joining us by phone, Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan, are you with us?
I am. Great to be with you.
It is so good. You were with us back some time ago when your last book came out. But to our listening audience, I doubt if there is anyone who is not familiar. I trust that everyone is familiar with your books and with the message that is coming. But for those who may not be familiar with you, Jonathan Kahn has released a number of books, and of course, Harbinger was an instant New York Times bestseller that, without question, brought him to national and international prominence. And the Harbinger was followed by The Mystery of the Shemitah, The Book of Mysteries, The Paradigm, then The Oracle, all of them New York Times bestsellers. And, you know, Jonathan, you've been named along with Billy Graham and another dear friend of this ministry through his music, Keith Green. And so amongst the spiritual leaders that God has raised up in these last days, we are blessed to have, I believe, a prophetic voice that is calling our nation to come back to God. And so, Jonathan, welcome to Wednesday Live.
A blessing to be back with you.
I did want to just mention that, you know, your book, we're going to be talking about it, but I wanted to start right out and let everyone know that, of course, this book is available. Now, what day did it get the release?
It released on actually the first day of September, September 1st, just last week. Tuesday, and by the grace of God, it made it to the top 10 books in the world of Amazon. So we just pray God has his way with this.
Well, yes, for sure. And I know that there are going to be people after the program today that are going to be looking to order. I know this morning, as I was just in prayer and thinking about my own family, this is it's a message that many people will want to get this book into the hands of family, of relatives, of neighbors, business acquaintances, and people that you know, because this message is so needed and so timely. Well, let's get right into the topic, Jonathan. And what does the Harbinger 2 reveal?
Yeah, the Harbinger 2 is really the picking up of from the Harbinger, which is the first book I wrote, which is the biblical mystery that is unfolding in America right now, and it's the mystery of judgment. And the question is, what's going to answer is, number one, are we approaching judgment? Are the shakings that are happening all around us, you know, what has changed our world this year, is there a purpose to them? Is there a mystery behind them? Is there a meaning? Are they a sign that we are actually approaching judgment? And if so, how long do we have? And what are we to do? You know, what are the keys to do that we need to know as believers for this hour and to deal with what is coming? What has been, what is, and what is yet to come? That's what the Harbinger 2 is going to reveal.
And what led you to write this second book? I know Harbinger 1. When I read it, it was powerful, and here we are with a sequel. What led you to write this?
Yeah, and I was blessed. You know, we had a chance to just say a few words before the interview. I was blessed that you not only you read it and your reaction to this. Yeah, it is. What happened was, you know, I knew when I wrote The Harbinger that there was going to be more. And first, there was so much that I couldn't put in there of the mysteries. You know, what's in The Harbinger was just a piece of the mystery. So there was all that. I knew there was a time to reveal it, but it had to be the Lord. I couldn't just do it. Secondly, the harbingers and the signs that appeared in starting with 9/11 have not stopped, and since the book came out, it hasn't stopped. It's continued. The signs have appeared. There have been more and new and more harbingers that have appeared. So the Harbinger 2 is going to reveal that. So that I knew that had to be revealed. And then the third part is what's happening now. And all these things that are happening. What is, you know, where are we going, and what does it mean? So what happened was I knew it was going to come. I knew that this is the only book that I've held off on writing for years, and knew that I had to wait until the time was right. And so, you know, last September I'm praying, and I said, Lord, what is the next book to be? And it was this, you know, very strongly, and I wasn't even expecting it. And then, you know, I also got a real strong knowing or conviction that this year, the coming year, 2020, was going to be a year of great shaking. And in fact, I shared it publicly with the congregation at the first week of the year, a year of shaking, of dark events. And it was good. These shakings were going to be the resuming of the mystery of the Harbinger, of the progression of judgment with America. And so I had to write the book. I had to get it out. And so I started writing it in January. And then, you know, within like 2 months, everything began, you know, the COVID, everything began after I wrote it. But I had a strong sense. So I knew that this was the time that I had to give the word to warn God's people, that they be aware, and all who would listen, that because this was the year.
So what you wrote in The Harbinger is now coming true, correct?
Yeah, amazing thing, Jonathan, is that when I look back at The Harbinger, and I look, there's a chapter called Things to Come, and it's about what's going to come, and it speaks specifically about this template that we're following. That, you know, the beginning of the this is a biblical template, that when a nation is warned, begins the time of judgment or the warning of judgment, it begins with a strike on the land. This happened in the Bible more than once. An enemy is allowed to make a strike. Now, the strike is a wake-up call, and it's limited, it's contained. It's to call the nation back to God, to actually to avert judgment. Well, it it with America, it happened with 9/11. That was our strike. That was our beginning of the judgment template. But the next thing that happens is that there is a span of time, years given to the nation, a window of grace to come back to God and for revival to come back. And if it doesn't, to head away from God and it heads to judgment. Well, with America, we've been in this window since 9/11. And the thing is that at the end of the window, what happens is that great shakings start coming upon the nation. And the Harbinger, the original book, put it in what kind of shakings that are happening now. The Harbinger 2 opens up, now reveals it, but also it even from the Harbinger, and it's revealed in the Harbinger 2, but it was all there in the Harbinger, that even the timing of when this had to happen was all there. It's all part of the mystery, even the year 2020. And if we have time later on, I'll show your listeners exactly how.
So some of the mysteries that that were kind of presented, they're just now, you weren't able to put them into Harbinger 1. Now is a later time. And one of the things that, as I read about the Pentagon and what took place, tell us about that. That's in the book. Tell us about the Pentagon. How does that fit into this whole thing?
Yeah, and that wasn't at, this is one of the kind of many things, revelation that were not in the Harbinger, but are in the Harbinger too, and that because there are things that happened back then with 9/11 that are gigantic biblical signs that are affecting us, that are a warning for us now. When judgment begins on a nation, it happens. What happens is that the powers of the nation are shaken, and not only that, but that also, as the powers are shaken, it also that God brings the nation back to its foundation. Like he says, I will break down the wall and I'll expose the foundation. So he brings the nation back to the foundation and he deals with the powers. Well, one of the, of course, great powers of America is its military power. It's the military superpower of the world. Now, the thing is that, when did that begin? What was the foundation? Well, it really began, the rise of America to world superpower. America was always isolationist, but it began as it entered World War II, Second World War. That happened in 1941, and it launched it, skyrocketed to world power, never retreated. Well, the thing is that the 1941, when it was about to enter in, America started building a building that would be attached, joined to it, this power. And that building was the Pentagon. And it was begun on the other side of the Potomac River. And what day did it begin? The day that the Pentagon was begun, the day of the birth of the Pentagon, the date was 9/11, September 11th, the same day. So the mystery is that everything returns back to the foundation. And long before, 9/11 was the day of calamity, it was the day of the foundation of America's power, the rise of its power. And the message or the warning is that if America, all the blessings we have, our military power, the strength, that all comes from God. If we turn away from God and we don't come back, then that power is going to crumble. And the thing is that, not only that, but the building that the Pentagon replaced, the War Department building, that was existed for 60 years. Well, if you take the date that the Pentagon began and you add the 60 years, it comes to September 11th, 2001. And I'll just throw in a quick other thing. I mean, there's so many mysteries, but I'll just throw in one other quick thing, and that is that the other power of America, base power, is its economic power. Now, when did that begin? Well, that began a long time before it. That was always centered on New York City, the center of trade, the center of finance, center of industry, New York City. Well, when did New York City begin? When did America's rise to economic power begin? It began when Henry Hudson discovered it, and the Dutch began planting on it. Well, what day was that? New York City was born on September 11th, 9/11. It all comes back to the beginning, the mystery of the Bible. And that's why 9/11 happened. That's why it all happened on 9/11. And the warning is that if we don't come back to God, then our economic power, our prosperity, all those things will also crumble. And we're even beginning to see warning signs of that right now.
Reading about the gates, the towers, and the walls, and realizing what's taking place, and that scriptures were being read. What is this about the scriptures that were being read in the days leading up to 9/11 and that ancient alarm that we read about sounding?
Yeah, amazing thing. And that is, there is this in the book. This is a chapter on the parsha, and the what a parsha is pointed words that are read from pointed from ages past, where the scriptures are read on certain upset days. On the Sabbath day, when the Jewish people open up the scrolls in the synagogue, and they read the appointed word and they chant the appointed word. Well, what was the appointed word that there was an appointed word that led to 9/11? That was just a few days before led into 9/11. It was being read all around New York City on top of it. Well, what was the word? The word was God warning a nation that has known him and that has been blessed by him, but now has turned away from him. It's warning that now your blessings, if you don't turn back, your blessing's going to be removed, and judgment is going to begin. And the first thing it says is that an enemy will come from far away, a faraway land, and will strike you in your gate. Now, actually, the gate of America is New York City. And it goes through details of what's going to happen, which all happened on 9/11, how it's going to happen, what's part of it. We don't have time to go through the details, but I'll just say this. It says that the enemy will come like an eagle. As an eagle, well, first of all, that's exactly how 9/11 came. They came from the sky on wings like eagles. It'll come like an eagle swooping down. Literally, every plane of 9/11 began, its strike happened by it swooping down. And the sign of the eagle swooping down, the swooping eagle, is a sign in the Bible of judgment. And the first plane that began 9/11, on the back of the plane was an image. The image was of an eagle swooping down, the biblical sign of judgment. That's also was in the scripture that was appointed for that day. Now, I'll give you one more. You alluded to it. And there's so much. It's called the unrevealed. There's a whole section called the unrevealed. These are the mysteries that weren't revealed from back then. But the thing is this. On the day of morning of 9/11, before anybody knew, before as the terrorists were just beginning to set their plan in motion, before the Pentagon knew, before anybody knew, the ancient sound of alarm from the Bible, the ancient biblical alarm, began sounding. That's the sound of the watchmen, the sound of the shofars, the trumpets of God. They started sounding in the Northeast before it happened, and not only that, they started sounding where the terrorists were. The terrorists began in Maine. It was in Maine that the shofars first started sounding in America. Then the shofars began sounding, the trumpets sounding in Boston, and then as the terrorists headed to Boston. And then the trumpets started sounding in New York City, as the terrorists started heading to New York City. And then the trumpets started heading in Washington, as the terrorists headed to Washington. It all happened like clockwork, and the trumpets were set to stop. According to the ancient ordinance, they were to stop at about 10:30 on 9/11. Well, they stopped at about 10:29. The last destruction takes place, where the tower, the North Tower, falls to the ground, and it's over, and then the trumpets stop sounding. I mean, amazing. So the trumpets were sounding, and it's a sign that God's trumpets right now are sounding. He sends warning before things happen, but are we listening? The Harbinger 2 is a trumpet sound, but we need to heed the sound of the trumpets.
Yeah, as I was reading those words in this chapter on the watchmen, many are still sleeping, and many who are hearing are not listening.
Yes,
they're just conditioning themselves to continue life as it were. As I heard many times after 9/11, let's get back to normal. What we need to do is to get back to God.
Yeah,
all right,
absolutely.
So we have a scripture that's being read in the days leading up to 9/11, and of course the ancient alarm is there. And then on the morning of 9/11, before the attack, what is the verse that was being read that very morning?
Well, amazing thing. For those who know the Harbinger, The central verse, the harbinger verse, is Isaiah 9:10, which speaks of it's speaking of the first attack on the land by an enemy, and it's speaking of the beginning of judgment for a nation. Well, on that, and all the harbingers that appeared in America, the signs are based on that scripture. And well, on 9/11 that morning, before anything happened, all over America, believers are opening up the Bible to that scripture before it happened. They're open to the scripture on judgment, on the attack on the land before it happened. Why? Because there's a Bible called the one-year Bible, and the one-year Bible has a scripture for every day. And if you open up the one-year Bible and you open up to that harbinger scripture, Isaiah 9:10, it'll point, there's a date on top of the page, and the date on the page is September 11th. The Bible, the one-year Bible, is actually joining together the date, which the scripture about the attack on the land to 9/11, and the beginning of judgment to 9/11, and this came out before 9/11. In fact, this Bible came out in the 1980s, and so for 15 years, every year on 9/11, believers are opening up their Bibles on 9/11 to the scripture about the attack of the enemy and the beginning of judgment. And when I wrote the harbinger, I had no idea. But it was already joined together from the beginning. I mean, only the hand of God could have done that.
Yeah, when I read that's just one of many things that are so shocking. Once again, on Wednesday Live, we are talking today with Jonathan Kahn, author, well-known speaker nationally, internationally. And Jonathan, for those of our audience who are just tuning in and are looking to get a copy of your book. It just came out, I believe, on the 1st. And let's just give the information on how people can get their copy today, and, of course, how people can follow your ministry as well.
Yeah. The harbinger, too, and as you said, Jonathan, I appreciate it, you know, that it's not only for you, you know, to know what's happening and how to be prepared for what's coming, but also for people in your life who know the Lord or don't know the Lord, as a wake-up call, even salvation, but a wake-up call for them to know, to get it for them. But how you get it is the Harbinger 2 is available everywhere. You can get it online, Amazon, or any other place online right now, and also you can get it at any bookstore that's open, you know, including Walmart should have it, too. So it's really everywhere. And again, not only for yourself, but get it for people who need it, who need to know.
Absolutely. Okay, so what do we know is going to happen next? What does the ancient mystery speak to America in regards to what's coming?
Well, this is, the first thing is, what would happen next? What did the mystery say was going to happen after 9/11? Well, I mean, up till now, you know, and the thing is this, it was, you know, the amazing thing is that it's not just the harbingers, the signs that have appeared in the land, that are the biblical replaying of what happened in the last days of Israel, ancient Israel, but it's also that America itself is following the mystery of the harbinger, because the mystery says that the nation, ancient Israel, after being warned, instead of coming back to God, as you said, the nation turned even farther away from God, defied him. And that's exactly what has happened to America. America is following the footsteps of ancient Israel, which led to judgment. And since 9/11, not only did we not come back to God, there was no repentance, and so there was no revival, but we've gotten worse. You know, we've gone far more away from God since 9/11, and that's the scary thing, or the dangerous thing, and where we are now is much more dangerous than we were then. So what it means is that the harbingers are going to continue. There's going to be new harbingers since I wrote the book, and that's the second section of the Harbinger 2, which is all those things that happened, that were not in the Harbinger, that happened since, that are warning us of judgment.
You know, in Harbinger, as I looked at trees, you address what took place with this tree, and judgment. There's mention of the judgment tree. What is the judgment tree?
Yeah, the judgment tree is this. It's actually one of the nine original harbingers that are in the Harbinger 1, and that is that. But what happened to it? Well, the thing is, the harbinger speaks about, you know, that verse that says Israel, when they're attacked, Isaiah 9:10, say the bricks have fallen, well, destruction of buildings, 9/11, but we will rebuild with quarried stone. Well, we did. That's exactly what we did. But then it says the sycamore has been struck down, the sycamore tree in that attack. But we will plant cedars, or in Hebrew, the Erez tree in its place. Well, the thing is that on 9/11, it actually happened.
This is literal.
Literally. That's, I mean, a beam went forth from the North Tower, struck a tree that was at ground zero. The tree happened to be the sycamore. And so the sycamore was fallen on 9/11, literally. And then the Bible says that they will plant another tree in its place. Well, three years later, a tree appears in the sky, at ground zero, and it's being lowered down to be planted in the exact place where the sycamore fell. So the people of New York, they're reenacting this ancient mystery. They don't know what they're doing, but they're reenacting. And the tree they plant is literally a biblical Erez tree, the very tree in the Hebrew of that verse. So they do it. It's an act of judgment, because they say, hey, we're planting a stronger tree. The tree is going to represent, we're coming back stronger than before. They call it the tree of hope. It's really representing America coming back. Well, here's the thing, Jonathan. The tree, you know, actually in the Bible, one of the signs of national judgment is the withering away of a tree. Because you see it again and again in the Bible. It's a symbol. What happened to the tree at ground zero that represented America? It started to wither away. And no matter what they did, they couldn't save it. It started withering and withering away. All the trees around it were, or most of them were blossoming. The tree of this tree was withering away. And it's a symbol of America spiritually withering, morally withering away. And the thing is that not only that, but the ultimate sign of judgment, actually this is even foretold in the original Harbinger, is that one of the signs of judgment is that this particular kind of tree, sometimes you read it as the cedar or the Erez tree, is going to fall. And the fall of that tree is a giant sign of coming judgment. What happened to the tree at ground zero? The tree of hope, or the Erez tree, has fallen. It was struck down at ground zero. And it was struck down on a Hebrew holiday. And actually that night, that of its striking down, the moon turned blood red, another biblical sign of judgment. And what the sign is this, that, you know, if the fall of the sycamore, which is a weak tree, you know, it's not very strong, if that matched up with 9/11, then what does the fall of the Erez tree mean? It speaks of something much greater than 9/11 coming upon America.
So while the national movement is let's get back to normal, let's get over this, let's heal, rather than repenting and coming to God, in the midst the tree dies, there's an image.
Yes.
That is visible in New York. Tell us about that.
Yeah, one of the signs of coming judgment, again, everybody, I mean, I'm sure they know, I know, you know, because you read the book, but we're able to skim the surface because there's so much in each one and other mysteries, but we're just to touch this, that in the last days of ancient Israel, one of the signs of judgment was that images of the gods proliferate in the land. The prophet Ezekiel is taken to the temple, and he's shown. He says, "Look, what do you see?" He says, "I saw an image. It was the image of a false god." And God says, "Because of that, now judgment is coming on the land." Well, could it happen in America? Amazingly, it did. An image appeared in America. An image of a false god, a foreign god, appeared in New York City. It was projected onto the Empire State Building. Had to be the largest image of a foreign god or false god on the entire planet. The head of the god alone was about 300 feet. Mm. And on that, so here's an image appearing over New York City. And on, you know, on that very day, it was a day that there was a scripture appointed to be read in the synagogues of the Jewish people. And it was read all over New York City. What was the appointed scripture for the day that America put up the image? It was God warning, do not make an image of a god. Do not make an image. And it goes on to say that judgment will come upon you for this. And on that very day, the image, and you know the image was the image of the god Kali, which is the image of the god of darkness, the god of death and destruction, now looming over New York City.
All the details are, of course, in that chapter, and just how even the reversal of the light and all the things that that are, yes, in the book are fantastic. Again, this is Wednesday Live, and we are talking live today with Jonathan Kahn, author of Harbinger 2, and this book is available on Amazon. Of course, you can find it almost anywhere in all the bookstores. And again, Jonathan, it's so great to have you with us. Now, there is a chapter called The Ninth of, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. Is it Tammuz or
Not bad. You know, some people say Tammuz.
And I'm not even sure.
But it would be more like Tammuz. But
Tammuz.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the Hebrew month. And the thing is that the Ninth of Tammuz is a day of mourning, or was a day of mourning in the Jewish calendar. It's a day of calamity. On the Ninth of Tammuz, the Bible records that the enemies of Israel breached the walls of Jerusalem. And once they did, they opened up the walls. They opened up the protective outer defensive walls that were protecting Jerusalem. It was the hedge. Well, the moment, you know, once that happened, it was over. I mean, because once they breached the wall, the enemy's coming into it. So it was the day that the hedge that protected the nation, the walls of the nation, were struck down. And now here's the thing. After the Harbinger came out, America, in its fall from God, you know, as it was with ancient Israel, its fall from God, it continued, and it did something gigantic. We crossed the line. The nation's highest court, America, through its highest court, the Supreme Court, struck down marriage as we know it and as the Bible says it. And it struck down. It was June 26, 2015. But on the Hebrew calendar, on the Bible calendar, it was the ninth of Tammuz, the day of judgment, the day when the walls that protect the nation are struck down, are breached, the day that marriage, which is a hedge that protects America, what protects the civilization, was struck down on the very day that the walls of the nation struck down, and that is a sign of coming judgment.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationship among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders, inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity, bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us by phone at 772-324-9313.
The day that marriage, which is a hedge that protects America, what protects the civilization, was struck down on the very day that the walls of the nation struck down, and that is a sign of coming judgment.
What's taking place in our nation, and of course the exposure with this book, and just tying things together is so significant. It is so clear that God has just given insight for us at this time. And we're being shaken right now in America. And, you know, why is this happening? Why are we shaking? I mean, we've been talking about a lot of the things that are obvious, but where is all this headed?
Yeah. Amazing thing. We spoke at the beginning, you know, about is what I wrote 8 years ago in the Harbinger, is it coming true? And I promised to share how. Well, here's the thing. And it starts in that chapter. People have the original Harbinger. It's called Things to Come, that chapter. But it's now revealed in the Harbinger 2. But the thing is that what it says is that, again, that template is there's a window of time. There's the first strike. Here's the biblical template. The first strike by an enemy, then there's a window of years, and then comes the greater shakings. Now, how will those greater shakings come? Well, the thing is that it says it in the original Harbinger, and that this is the biblical template. It will happen through the nation will be divided. A division of the nation. Well, we're witnessing the greatest division of America we've ever witnessed in our lifetime. Number one. it's happening. It says that it talks about disorder or civil disorder. Well, we're witnessing it, the riots, the uprising in America happening right now. Another thing it says is the breakdown of infrastructure, and that is also happening from everything, from COVID, from the plague that's on our land right now, from the lockdown. I mean, life has been disrupted. It's broken down. It also talks about economic collapse. Well, we've seen that as well. It speaks about other things that I believe are yet to come. But the thing is that all these things and the plague itself and even the timing of why this all had to happen this year, which I can show you how it is, but it's amazing.
The 19-year mystery that you address in the book, what is that about?
Well, here's the thing. When the question is asked in the original book, in the Harbinger one, it's asked, how long is it between from the striking, the first strike, the enemy strike, the beginning that sets this mystery in motion of judgment, and when the greater shakings come upon the land? And with Israel, that those greater shakings actually led to judgment and destruction. Well, here's the thing. The answer is given in the original Harbinger, but it's opened up now in the Harbinger 2. And here's the thing. When the first strike that came upon Israel happened in 605 BC, when the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, first invaded the land. And so when did the greater shaking come, or the greater destruction? Well, it happened when the Babylonians returned to the land and they destroyed it, basically. Well, when was that? It was 586 BC. How many years in between the two? It's 19 years. It's a 19-year mystery. 19 years judgment. The Bible even says it was in the 19th year also of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign that he came to destroy Israel. 19 years. So now, when was 9/11? The strike with America begins with 9/11. What year? It was 2001. So when is the 19th year? The 19th year is the year 2020. And so the mystery foretells that in 2020 will come the greater shakings upon America. And so it has. All that. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah, when he prophesied of what was going to happen in the 19th year, one of the things he says is going to happen is there's going to be a plague or a pestilence or a disease or a pandemic will come upon the land in the 19th year. And so it has been in 2020 has come the plague as ordained in the Bible.
It follows exactly, doesn't it?
It's amazing.
Precisely.
It's stunning. I mean, I'm the first to be blown away.
So the pandemic that has shaken the world, that has shaken our nation, is clearly placed in the Word of God. This 19-year mystery, here it is, right up to the year, and it's all in the Word of God. It's all in the Word of God.
Yeah, and there's a mystery behind this. I mean, I think the largest chapter of the Harbinger 2 is called the Plague. Because there's so much about what is happening right now, and I'll give a little taste of it. And it's heavy and strong, but it's very important. A question is, first of all, does God, can plagues or pestilences or pandemics, can they be judgments or warnings or shakings from God? Well, were God allowing it? Well, clearly yes. The Bible speaks of it, very clearly. This came upon Israel, and it was a judgment. And so the thing is that could this be a judgment? I'm not talking about individuals who are, who are struck by it, but as a nation or a civilization. Well, yes. I mean, Jeremiah says it will come, and he says that it will come, and specifically there's one sin above all others that provokes judgment, and that is, Jeremiah said, it's the killing of your children.
Mm.
For Israel, they were sacrificing their children. And he said, because of that, all this is going to come, and it's going to be in the 19th year, and it's going to involve a plague on the land. Well, it's interesting because, you know, this generation, those who are alive now in the world, I mean everybody, old to young, this generation of the entire world and America has killed more unborn children than any generation in the history of the world. And so this has come upon this generation. And a plague that particularly, you know, the sin of abortion is the sin of the older against the younger. Well, this plague particularly strikes the older, you know, and particularly spares the younger. Mm. But the thing is that America kills more children than most nations of the world, and actually led much of the world into abortion by example, and also kills the children at later stages. And America, more is required because America has been more blessed and was founded by God. So one of the mysteries that Jeremiah says is that the judgment for the killing of children is going to return to the place where the children's blood were shed. Well, where in America have more children the blood been shed than any other place? It's New York. It's New York City. And so when the plague came to America, it particularly struck New York City as no other place. And even to this day, America, of all places in America, more people died in New York City than any other place. More people. And, I mean, twice as much as any other place. And the thing is that the day that it was recorded that the plague, this disease, came to America, well, it was spotted in Seattle. It was called Patient Zero, and the next day it made headlines all over America. The date, there was a date next to the headlines of the plague coming to America, and the date was January 22nd. January 22nd is the date that America legalized the killing of children of the unborn in America. And I mean, mind-boggling. And it was exactly that date marked exactly 1 year to the date that New York crossed that gruesome line and passed that bloody law of killing children up to the time of birth. 1 year later to the day the plague is recorded in America coming. And in fact, you know, New York City did that, or New York did that. And then before the year was out, the plague began and would come back to New York. And in fact, on the day that New York did that law, they celebrated by lighting up one of the nine harbingers at Ground Zero. They lit up the tower pink to celebrate the killing of children, and then the plague came back to New York. Now I'm just going to, there's so much, I'm just going to mention two things. And that is this, and it's all in the chapter called The Plague. Well, there's more. But here's the thing. Jeremiah, when he made that prophecy of what would happen because of the blood of the children, he said there'll be so many people dying that you won't be able to bury them, or you won't be that. Well, in New York, that what happened was the center of where children have been killed. So many people were dying in this plague that they could not accommodate it. They couldn't, so they literally shipped out the unclaimed bodies to an island. Now Jeremiah made this prophecy while he was standing at the potter's gate, holding in his hand the potter's jar, and it's by the potter's field. And he makes this prophecy. Well, in New York, when they buried the people on this island, the place where they buried them was called, they call Potter's Field, named after the place where Jeremiah prophesied that very thing over. I mean, mind-boggling. But not only that, but, you know, we know, all Christians have heard about the Balm of Gilead. You know, it's about a cure. Well, it comes from a prophecy that Jeremiah is making about what was going to happen in the 19th year, or what happened, and because of the killing of children. And he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there a cure for this judgment? Is there no healing? Is there no balm in Gilead? It was a place where the cures came. Well, America starts seeking for a cure for this judgment or for this plague. And a company comes out with a cure. It was a little cure, but the stock market goes up 500 points when they announce it. And so this was to America. This was a balm of Gilead. Well, the name of the company was Gilead. I mean, Gilead Sciences, the very place, the balm of Gilead. But I'll mention one last thing. There's so much more, but one last thing. Abortion on demand began in America not in 1973. It began in 1970, and the key of spreading it to America was New York. They voted. The date that they voted for abortion on demand was April 9th and April 10th. Two votes. April 9th, April 10th. You know, there is a mystery in the Bible called the Jubilee, when things come back 50 years later. Well, the 50 year anniversary, the Jubilee of abortion in America is 2020. And when they did a study for when the plague was hitting its peak in New York, they found there were two dates. It was April 9th and April 10th, 50 years to the very day it all began.
Mm. Mm. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? I mean, you know, looking at what's taking place and what should we be doing?
Yes, there is hope. And the thing is that there is hope, and the hope, you know, is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." You know, the thing is that, and in the Harbinger 2, the last part is all about hope, and is all about what do we need to do, and how do we need to be prepared for the days ahead? Can we change this for America? And regardless, how do we need to be prepared? Well, that is the thing, and in the book, I won't get into it, it actually goes through how that very scripture saved America, was critical in the history of America, literally saved the America exists today because of that scripture. And more than once, and I even share how it, even in the 20th century, how it turned around America. Well, now it's even more critical, it's even more dangerous, and we need that. And so, but the amazing thing is that if you look, you know, people quote that scripture, but what's the context of the scripture? What's the timing of the scripture? Well, the verse before gives it. And the verse before says this: "If I send a plague on the land," then it says, "if my people." So in other words, if a plague comes on your land, then if we will humble ourselves, pray, then he will hear from heaven. Well, we got it. We got it. We got the plague. It even says, if I shut up the heavens like famine, food shortage. Well, that's happening too. That 2020 is also the year of that as well. And it says, if I send locusts, well, 2020, people realize, is the year of the greatest plague of locusts in generations. It's happening all over the world. So you got all three. You only need one. You've got all three. So this is the time. If we don't rise now to this scripture, then we may pass the point of no return. And that's why, literally, I've called with others for a day called the return.
Tell us about the return. When will it happen?
Yeah, well, the return is that. It's that very scripture. If my people, and it's so critical, and, you know, we've got an election coming up, which is in November, which is the most critical election we've ever witnessed. You know, where America's going to go, you know, go for judgment, or whether we're going to have whether the window's going to end or the window's going to be extended, we're going to have a chance or not. So it's crucial that we, and also, you know, just where we are, what's all happening. God is calling us. We need to rise. The return is the national day of prayer and repentance. It's also global, but it's the national day, and it's going to be, the date is September 26th. September 26th. And it's going to be, you know, not only that, you know, it's actually also the 10 days that surround it, because these are the biblical 10 days of repentance. From the Feast of Trumpets, when you hear the trumpet sound, that's the beginning, and then it goes to Yom Kippur, which is the day of really when it's all sealed. Well, on September 26th, that's just before the end of this period, so it'll be a Saturday, we're going to be gathering, and I'm inviting everybody who can, we're gathering in Washington, D.C., on the National Mall, in between the Washington Monument and Capitol Hill, of a day of prayer, repentance, a sacred, solemn assembly. We're going to be sounding the shofars like they did in the Bible. All those things. We're going to have people are part of it from, you know, all over. Pat Robertson, Pat Boone, Dr. Dobson, you know, Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, Martin Luther King's niece, Ann Vita King, and many, many more from all over. We're going to be praying, worshiping, and coming before God. And the thing is that if you can't make it, you say, well, how can you be part? You can do it in your home. You can set those days, and that particular day, September 26th, Saturday, for prayer and repentance and interceding for America. You can do it in your church. Tell your pastors about it. Have your own return. You can do it in your city. You can do it in a field. It doesn't matter. Have your own return. It doesn't matter. But to find out more, how you can get to Washington, how to be part, or how to do it wherever you are, just go to thereturn.org, and it'll tell you how. It's thereturn.org. And I'll tell you one other thing about this. And we didn't know, you know, and we, you know, this date was planned. But then afterwards, I found out that date, September, on the Hebrew calendar, is a special day. It's called Shabbat Shuvah, and that means the Sabbath, which is Saturday, but it means, Shuvah means the return. It means the day of the return on the biblical calendar appointed. And it's a day of repentance. It's a day when a nation is to repent. And the appointed scripture that's going to be read all around the world on that day, and we didn't plan it, obviously, is Joel 2, which is the scripture of the return, which is that it says, blow the trumpet, consecrate a solemn assembly, and come before the Lord. And for repentance, come before, cry out to the Lord. It's all there. So this is appointed by God. So again, if they just to find out more, they just go to thereturn.org.
Very good. And as we kind of close in on our last 10 minutes, Jonathan, you can purchase a book, any bookstore online. You can find it all over the place. And so you're going to want to get a hold of the book, because there's so much that you could just barely touch on a portion of it today. And appreciate so much you sharing with us. Jonathan, your ministry is Hope of the World, and you can visit the webpage at hopeoftheworld.org. Now, in these closing...
If people want to, just so you know, it's an outreach to the world, and you know, and if you want, they will get free gifts if you do that. We'll send you CDs, mysteries. You know, that's where all that is from, and also prophetic updates. So, hopefully, if you go there, hopeoftheworld.org, you'll be blessed immediately.
We have been speaking with Jonathan Kahn in reference to the new release, Harbinger 2, in bookstores and, of course, online. And so you're going to want to locate a copy and get that, read it, and get it into the hands of people who are in need of finding the good news about Jesus Christ. At the end of the Harbinger 2, you reveal an event that took place in secret and that revealed was yet to happen before anything, even before 9/11. Do you have just a moment to close with that? We still have a couple minutes left.
Sure. Yeah, and this is the only time that I ever put an image in one of my books. It's in the Harbinger 2 at the very end. It's linked to that. Yeah, 2 years before 9/11, believers gathered from all over the country to New York City, because they knew in the spirit that a terror attack was coming on America, a terrorist attack, and it was coming to New York City. And I was one of those who gathered. We gathered together at the Statue of Liberty, at the pedestal. And I lifted up, we prayed for America, and I lifted up the shofar, the trumpet, the watchman's, this is the gate of America, and sounded it toward New York City. And someone took a picture, and it literally was a prophetic image. It literally, the shofar is touching the World Trade Center, is touching the North Tower, where 9/11 would begin, and it's touching the exact spot where the attack would begin, when this whole mystery would begin. But this is 2 years before. And then I lift up my hands, and we're praying. I'm praying for New York City, or I'm praying the blessing. And someone takes a video, and a plane comes flying across the exact path of 9/11 on film to the tower, swooping down. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And the day that this all happened, this foreshadow of 9/11, was 2 years before, and the date we were at, the date it happened was 9/11, September 11, 2 years before. And it was also the Feast of Trumpets, which is the biblical day. It's coming up, by the way. That's when the 10 days of prayer begins. So remember it. The Feast of Trumpets is saying that, listen, it's warning, because judgment's coming. So it was 9/11, the Feast of Trumpets. So it was saying that 9/11 was a warning. It wasn't the full event. It's a warning of things to come. So let's get right, and as we approach this time of the trumpets, you know, literally, let's all get right before the Lord, and let's get ready. And again, that's why, and that Harbinger 2 is a trumpet call. That's why it's the only book I've ever, at the end of the Harbinger 2, you're going to see one of those prophetic images that's marking 9/11 before it happened.
Tremendous. I We are just so blessed and overwhelmed to have the Word of God, to have the life of God, and to have the choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. Thank you, Jonathan, for sharing with us in regards to your book and sharing your heart with us.
'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through.